Communist group. You have the bankster group. They're all associated. Don't think that just because they fall into different little categories that their purpose isn't the same. It's a matter of who gets to run the big show on your globe. And as far as Satan is concerned, every one of his underlings are totally expendable, and he will cross them to the dog. Does this mean that the ones who have the causal spheres are pure and only interested in God? No. But there's some very, very godly people who have control of those. This is not Mr. Yeltsin, however, nor Mr. Gorbachev. And as shocking as it's going to sound to you, you're going to find that Tsarist Russia was a whole lot better Christian nation and was basically the heart of the Christian nations. So you're going to find it all on the good side, tangled in with the Romanovs and a few seemingly nasty Bavarians and Austrians, etc. You will be surprised when you locate your thing. It's going to be unlikely. And obviously it will be unlikely because the lie will have been pierced. And how can you know? You can't. Unless you study and you begin to generalize and you begin to look at everything. For instance, you could watch sightings and UFO updates on Friday night. And how is it that we still talk about abductions? And how is it that we still talk about cattle mutilation? And the confusion will come even into your own consciousness. Well, but, you know, how about that time that I couldn't remember for 20 minutes or an hour? Or what about every night? What would Dorma say, you know, to something if she was in an abduction group and she didn't know any more than most of those ones? And she can very well remember going and observing what was taking place aboard ship and suffered the physical consequences of that for almost a year. Oh, I must have been abducted. How foolish. How foolish. And let's go into the cattle mutilations. 20,000 cows mutilated. Not a drop of blood to be found. Blah, 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 blah. Then notice who did the producing of the program. Linda Howe. Who studies cattle mutilations? And then they get the face on there. Friedman. It's all BS, my children. It is a total distraction from truth. Does that mean there's nothing going on at Area 51? How about Bob Lazar was on that program and he looked pretty credible. He is credible. Maybe not everything, because Bob Lazar needs to make it right with God and then maybe it understands. You cannot take these little pieces and draw these conclusions in a world gone mad with planners so shrewd they have thought of every consequence and of necessity must leave the clue open.
And they don't like us coming in and pointing out the open loopholes. So they try to hang you on their own loophole. What have they tried to do with corporations and the Eckers, for instance? And yet, if you do it according to the law, it becomes a tool. It doesn't mean you have to be able to use a law of the land. And you use it shrewdly and wisely, it will be your friend. If you use it carelessly and with egotism, it will destroy you. I promise it. And that's what these games are about. It just wasn't any value to bring that hurricane ashore where it was. They did not dare bring it in to the Gulf because it was picking up strength. It would have been incredibly devastating. And it would have been incredibly devastating in areas where they cannot afford to be devastated.
One other question. When they, to start a hurricane going, there has to be a spiral, correct? Do they take an existing spiral, beef it up and hurt it, or do they somehow create a spiral?
Oh, they can create it. It's nothing to create a storm.
Can they create a counter spiral to stop it? What is that?
They don't have to. All they have to do is blast it, and it stops. You see, this is the stupid part of your scientists reasoning. They'll send the plane right into the eye of a hurricane, right? Why in the soup don't they just drop a device and detonate it? It will blow the cycle. Have you ever tried to stop a whirlpool going down a drain? You stop it. You interrupt it. And how better to interrupt it than to explode it? Even better than implosion. You could do either.
How do you start air to spin? I don't understand. You'd say it's
Oh, you don't start it like that.
But now
you put the energy field there and you begin to suck the moisture, etc. And then you just keep it moving. Everything will tend to move in a spiral.
Now, a few weeks ago, you announced that the Bolsheviks are doing this with underground cables in the ocean, but the Russians are doing it with cosmospheres. Is that correct?
Well, they're doing it both. Massive technology is available on your place.
And they're competing against each other for control using weather to manipulate. There's competition here, you were saying. So one may create a storm, the other one may knock it out. Is that correct? I mean, is it like a weather war or something? Or?
No, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, that's what I'm trying to
say. If you're trying to accomplish what was accomplished along the Mississippi River, you wipe out a whole growing season. That will, in time, if you can control the weather, you see, in that very part of your nation that was being flooded out, destroyed, fields being flooded out, 1 acre over, there was such drought that the crops were lost. So you have this incredible pressure by the bankers, by the one world order to bring you under control. These are the closing times and you will have famine, and this is the way you create it. All you've got to do is bring in now earthquakes and ruin the viaduct irrigation system of the West. And you've got to work pretty fast, these guys, because as ones get onto them, it's harder to function. So you can begin to expect these happenings one after another. On the other hand, once they're expected, they kind of suck in their gut and say, well, we better not pull it off this week. That's not going to, they're going to tell who it was. And I can't answer you better than that. Everything depends on the circumstances and what they're trying to create and control. But I can tell you that the Committee of 300 Club of Rome is behind an awful lot of it. And major, major players, here's where your Yeltsins fit with the Club of Rome and the Committee of 300. Anyone else?
Hello, Commander. We're from Ohio, and we just want to say that we love you very much, Sagapo powerfully. And my husband is Greek, and when I asked him what, how they, do they have the word spelled in Greek, and he looked it up, and he said that it is white wheat. Is that correct?
Spelta?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it could be. It would have been a grain that was very, very, very substantial and fundamental in the old Greek lands, if you would.
He was rather surprised to find it there in his dictionary.
By the way, welcome.
Commander, just a brief comment. Three of the top executives from Brightest Belt back east flew to Las Vegas a couple of months ago, and I met with them and made some kind of arrangement if we want to follow through. I can be a wholesaler for Spelta, and we can get it for a very, very low price. They were saying something like 40 to 45 cents a pound. Then when the weather got a little bad and the harvests weren't so good, he said it would have to go up a little higher than that. But I have a letter of agreement that he can ship it to me at 3 cents a pound. If we buy 7,500 pounds at a time, we can get it at very, very low price, and that would help all of us if we wanted to get it on and do this.
Well, do it. Diane has been trying to get them to just respond.
Well, I'm not
they are advertising for spell growers, as a matter of fact. It is catching on, and we're doing them a big favor by the advertising that we are giving spell. But it's worthy of every bit of the advertising. It is that good a product. And we will be, the dorm isn't just playing in the bread for the hell of it. People out there, when I say I want you to do this, and have spelt bread, preferably toasted, they want to do that, but they go down to the market and they find it anywhere from $1 to $2 a pound, if you can find it. Most of the time you will walk into a health food store, and if they have it, it will be misspelled. They won't even know what it is, usually. It's getting a little bit more popular. So we are going to need hundreds of pounds of flour right here because our crop is in, but it's going to be reserved mostly for seed. And there is no grist mill here yet, and I don't want Rod doing the grinding on that old machine 25 pounds an hour. Let's invest the difference. People out there want it. We will still always keep the prices as low as we can and yet still break even. Everything we've done so far has run people into the hole. There's no reason to do that. You don't have to be way up here. You don't have to undersell. But there must be a way for people to have these important items. And so we are trying very hard to perfect a recipe suitable for shipping in combined increments that they can put into a bread machine. Well, maybe you don't have a bread machine. Well, mix it up by hand. Or maybe we can supply flour in something smaller than 25 pounds and still make it reasonable. But that means handling and packaging. People need a way to come to this place, to Vitasource or Speltevite or whatever, you know, something different. We can get their product, and then we can do what we need to do with it. And they're looking into various bread machines that can be gotten directly from manufacturer so that the price can be low enough that when we add the shipping and so forth, ones can still have the bread machine. It will still be maybe a choice of various qualities, whatever they want, but also can pay for over maybe 6 months rather than have the outlay all at once. So we're trying to make it convenient. But we do need the Vitus Belt flour, and we need some other of the products.
Commander?
Yes.
I've found another source for spelt. This is a grower group out of Ohio. Leonard Radzen is a part of that, and at a cheaper price. The price for unhulled spelt is 16 cents a pound, so for 20 ton, you're talking about $6,000 instead of nine, in that kind of situation. But I'm checking that out further, but I just wanted to.
Very good. We need the resource until you have your own insufficient quantity to meet our needs. And once people know where they can get product, we're not going to try to go into that kind of competition. But I thank both of you for that.
Commander?
Yes.
I need to make an announcement if I can.
Please.
Okay, this is Court, and we're 1 month away, just about, from the Nevada Corporation Seminar in Las Vegas. I want everybody to know that's planning on attending it that they've got to get hotel reservations in Las Vegas. They're filling up already, and the Imperial Palace, where the conference is going to be held, is only going to hold them for another 2 weeks for us. So everybody keep that in mind, please.
And please begin to make large announcements of that in the contact, if you would.
Okay.
It's time to hit that very hard. If people do not know how to handle their corporations, and especially to be able to be I've lost the word. I have not lost the thought. I want to talk about Jack Miller. To have the privilege, this man will talk so fast that you won't know what went over. But just open your mind and really listen. He is not going to allow you to bring in your tape recorders. He always has spies in his lectures. But he will tell you everything you ever thought you even could use on real estate management through corporations, and therefore every real estate person should go. He will show you how to purchase land as a corporation, sell the entire corporation, and you bypass a lot of the real estate problems. It's just something everybody who possibly can should avail themselves of. So, yes, let's please be bringing that continually now to the public notice. Anything else? I feel a little remiss. I have a list of things that ones say would I mention, would I do, and I don't. If it be from the Capistrano birds to Eric being over in the fire, I always owe people apologies.
Is there a letter Friday that I just gave to EJ that might serve as an interesting lesson?
Are you going to whisper? A letter came in. No, the bottom's done.
Commander, a letter came in Friday that might serve as an interesting lesson. If you would like me to read it, I will.
Please, this is what we're here for. Let's share that. If there's anything from Soul Tech, anything that we've got to share, let's do it.
I'll leave the name anonymous, although it's here. Dear Dharma, this letter comes straight from our heart. I know that this is an elderly couple that's been reading the material for a while now. This letter comes straight from the heart. It's to let you know that my wife, Doris, and I believe you are one of God's greatest gifts to suffering humanity. I have just finished reading aloud to her your masterful work, Sipapu Odyssey, which gave us one of the most marvelous inspirations we have ever had. Hatan has been telling us so often we should read the journals, so I decided to start at the beginning with number one. I have back-ordered numbers 2 and 3 and will order most of the remainder. I can see what he means when he says that we are now witnessing the fulfillment of the prophecies he made ahead of time in those journals. Also, that if we read them, we will get a fuller understanding of his message. There is just one jolt I have received when I read page 73 of Sipapu. I would very much appreciate it if you would ask Commander Hatan to clarify the following quote, if possible. Do not mistakenly think that you can place any name upon my being so that I might bear a label of your making. You have but to recognize of me and that which I do in the name of Yahweh. Unquote. I have been a Bible student most of my adult life, having had the privilege of living with and working with a wonderful biblical scholar who translated quite a bit of the Old Testament from his knowledge of the Greek and ancient Hebrew languages. He discovered that the so-called God of that Old Testament was nothing but a tribal angel called Yahweh. This has been confirmed by such outstanding Hebrew scholars as Edersheim and Zechariah Stitchin, along with this quote from Deuteronomy 32:8, Moffat translation, quote, ask your seniors to repeat how the Most High placed the nations, parting out mankind, how one by one he fixed the folks, each with its guardian angel, unquote. This Yahweh character is well described in Deuteronomy 32:42, KJV, quote, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy, unquote. This summarizes very well what Yahweh did constantly throughout his history as recorded in the Old Testament. I ask, with that kind of a God, who needs a devil? We are constantly taught by your marvelous mentors, as well as those with true spiritual insight, that the God we are to worship and serve is one of love and compassion. Not even normal human fathers exhibit such outrageous conduct as ascribed to that Yahweh character. In my view, what he is described as doing constantly, as recorded in the Old Testament, stinks to high heaven. The God of the New Testament certainly has nothing to do with him whose conduct is simply outrageous even to our human understanding. So, dear Dharma, if you could possibly have Hatan explain this obvious contradiction, I would be deeply appreciative. Other than this one unfortunate blot, we consider your story an absolute masterpiece. It seems obvious that Hatan inspired your efforts, as evidenced by your dropping of the first letter of his name in your account, making it Yorgos. I read much of Contact aloud to Doris each week and eagerly look forward to each issue, dropping whatever I am doing and devouring it as soon as we get it. I've been a subscriber to Spotlight since day one and have always considered it the top publication of its kind in America, but no more. Great as it is, it can't begin to hold a candle to Contact. What fascinates us more about Contact is that it carries in each issue a strong spiritual message. I've also been a keen student of the UFO phenomena since the days of Kenneth Arnold. I've had close contact with some of the outstanding contactees, such as George Van Tassel, Dan Fry, and Orfeo Angelucci. I see some of their footprints in each issue of Contact and infinitely more. My wife and I are convinced that our earthly humanity has passed the point of no return and that the only possible solution to our insoluble problems will come from the space people. Having been a court reporter for over 50 years, I am painfully aware of how totally corrupt our judicial system is, and my heart aches when I read how you and your husband have been so horribly maltreated by George Green et al. And to compound this agony, we are startled to read in the foreword of your book, should be foreword, that your life has been taken three times and that Hatan had renewed your life stream the same number of times, which certainly proves, Dharma, that you truly have divine protection. And from our viewpoint, you most certainly deserve it. One last comment and I will close. As a professional proofreader, I wince over the typos and missing words in your text. I know it's impossible for me to help you in this regard with the contact, but as you have more time available with the journals, would you allow me to do the proofreading for you? Maybe I shouldn't have read this portion. There would be no charge, of course. With such a magnificent message they contain, it's a shame to see these preventable blots on an otherwise beautiful production. There's a little more about that. Well, Dharma, I must bring this to a close. We want you to know that we hold you in the highest esteem, along with all of your marvelous co-workers, and we give thanks to God every day in our meditations for your incomparable service to bringing us such priceless truth at such a cost to yourselves. All of you are at the top of our prayer list. We pray you may live and to see the fruition of your magnificent efforts. With love and blessings and fond prayers, cordially,
okay. How do you spell whatever you call that? Yahweh?
No.
Yahweh? Tell me.
It's a consonant word.
No, I want Rick to tell me.
Y-A-H-W-E-H.
Y-A-H-W-E-H. Well, there is another term, Yehweh, which is an Indian term, native Indian. Y-E-H-E-W, I believe. Why would that appear in this book? Number one, that book is not a journal. That book was a story. Parts of it were written by Little Crow. And in some of the Native American language, they refer to God as through these terms. I made no intervention into the book. Now, I've been grossly accused of writing it. But you see, this was the beginning of a trail where this woman, Dharma, Doris, never heard of these things. So one has to go back now and say, oh my goodness, who is Darushka Maird? Well, that's, it's like saying Yorgos. Yorgos is a Greek word. Our Greek here will recognize it.
Excuse me, please.
As George translated from Greek.
Let me change that. Turn the tape.
Go ahead.